It's here and now.
Why tarnish your invaluable luster with a battle in the house? It's a rat's nest in there. It's the same gang of talentless hicks and hacks who rejected the amendment 10 months ago. We'll lose.
I like our chances now.
That's, of course, a scene from Steven Spielberg's Lincoln, which tells the story of the struggle to pass the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery. It's received 12 Oscar nominations. It's one of 9 films nominated for Best Picture. But what's up with that ending? That's the question posed by Steven Zeitchik, who writes about film for the Los Angeles Times. In his article, Movies Struggle to Find the End, Steve says Lincoln is also in less august company, movies that don't have good endings. Or maybe they have too many. Okay, it is late in the movie season, but still we know some of you have not seen the films we're going to talk about. So, spoiler alert, because we're going to be talking about the endings with Steve Zeitchik, who joins us from the Marketplace Studios in Los Angeles. Steve, good to speak with you again.
Same here.
In the case of Lincoln, as you note, it's not exactly a spoiler alert. Just about everyone knows that President Lincoln was sadly assassinated, and that's how that movie ended. But you quote actor Samuel L. Jackson, who really was upset with the ending. Why?
Yeah, his point, and I think others who have seen the movie would agree, there's a great moment in the film about 10 minutes before where the film actually ends, where, you know, Lincoln has passed, the amendment has passed. It's basically the whole quest he's embarked upon for the film. He's walking out. There's the butler kind of gives him his hat, and it's a great moment, and it's a great coda. And as you say, we all know how Lincoln's life really ended. So what Jackson's point is, and what many others have said, why do we need the assassination, which we don't actually see head on anyway, and then the deathbed, and then there's a further flashback? Why not just end it there? And I think this is not just obviously a problem Lincoln is facing, as you note. It's an issue many movies have faced in the last few months.
Well, but that would have been such a feel-good ending. You know, he passes the 13th Amendment. But it wasn't a feel-good ending to his story. He was assassinated for passing that 13th Amendment.
A good point. And I think that, you know, Spielberg would probably argue something along similar lines, that historically he had to show, Spielberg rather, had to show the consequences of, or possible consequence of, passing it. But I think when we're talking about cinema and we're talking about beginning, middles, and endings in film, there is a sense that there was a period where we really, or a long period, where there were some great endings. And you can go back to everything from Gone with the Wind through The Searchers, through more current movies like Magnolia, movies that I think people really felt the ending was satisfying. Doesn't mean it has to be neat. Doesn't mean it has to be purely historical, but it has to kind of encapsulate what came before, maybe open up a new can of worms, but certainly leave viewers with a certain sense of satisfaction. And for a lot of people, Lincoln just didn't do it.
Then there's the ambiguous ending. Life of Pi, about a man with a rather extraordinary survival story. Let's just listen to a little clip.
My name is Pi Patel. I have been in a shipwreck. I am on a lifeboat alone with the tiger. Please send help.
Beautiful book by Jan Martel, and the film is based on that. And you say it's easier to have an ambiguous ending in a book than in a film.
I think that's true, and I think Life of Pi has a problematic ending without giving too much away to listeners. There's a sort of moment late in the film when the narrator who's telling the story pulls the rug out from under everything we've been watching.
Oh, let's just say it. They say, could this be that there's a tiger on a boat?
Exactly. And there's a suggestion that it was all a metaphor. It didn't really happen. There were a lot of people on the boat. The people were represented by animals. And I think when you read the book, as I did, whatever it was now, 8, 9 years ago, it worked very well. It's very lyrical. The whole book is very sort of dreamlike and elusive. And so it's okay that the ending does it. When you put it on the screen, it's a little more visual. It's more literal. And I think it left some moviegoers a little bit, feeling a little bit cheated, I think.
Yeah. Well, back to films that seem to end more than once. You note Les Miserables. Maybe, you know, people haven't seen that film. So let's illustrate it with a film that people have. Peter Jackson's Return of the King, the last in his Lord of the Rings trilogy. A lot of complaints because that film seemed to build to a climax more than once. There's the coronation of Aragorn the King. And then after that, the film goes on and the hobbits go home to the Shire and they take up their lives again. But the hobbit Frodo, who bore the ring for the entire trilogy, finds that he can no longer live there. He bids goodbye to his servant and friend Sam.
We set out to save the Shire, Sam. And it has been saved. But not for me.
Frodo leaves, and there's more film. Sam returns home, and the film finally ends.
Well, I'm back.
I cut Lord of the Rings a little bit more slack. It's such an epic story. The books themselves are so sprawling. I know that the ending, or the endings, rather, because there are several of them, as you say, I think they weren't as satisfying as they could have been. There might have been a way to condense all of that. You know, this is the problem, and Les Mis falls into this case, too, into this category, rather, where, you know, you really have some very rich literary material, some very well-known literary material, of course, in Les Mis' case, the Victor Hugo novel and the very successful stage play. And I think if you deviate too much from it, the faithful are going to cry foul. If you maybe stay a little too true to what it is on the page, you're going to bore the moviegoer. And I think in both those cases, it could have been done differently without giving anything away in Les Mis. I think there's a very kind of moment-for-moment, beat-for-beat following of the ending to the stage play, which, for my money, worked a lot better when there's kind of the immediacy and the urgency of the theater. In a film, it just seemed to drag on.
Yeah. I want to talk briefly about surprise endings. You cite the 1991 Silence of the Lambs. Anthony Hopkins plays the cannibal and serial killer Hannibal Lecter. And then he has this great exit line at the end of the movie. I mean, it's repulsive, but let's listen.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
Yikes. I mean, as a viewer, you realize, oh my gosh, they haven't been able to stop him. Now, compelling in its time, but you say maybe that wouldn't work anymore because nobody keeps endings, well, look at us. Nobody keeps ending secret anymore. That would have been tweeted as soon as somebody leaves the theater.
It would have been, and I think that's a real problem filmmakers face. You know, Silence of the Lambs is a perfect ending in 1991. I'm not sure it works in 2013. And I think you're exactly right. Social media plays a huge role in this. It would have been tweeted. People probably would have snarked about it on Twitter. Citizen Kane and Rosebud, same thing. Great ending. It took years for that to kind of calcify into a classic. You'd have seen someone's Facebook status if that movie came out now, know exactly what it was, rolled your eyes and moved on.
Well, Stephen Zajcik, you've gotten a lot of response to your article in the Los Angeles Times. What did people say, and why do you think this means so much to people?
One thing people said is that they wished I could have ended my story better. So you're opening yourself up to some criticism trying to end a story when you're talking about how others can end theirs. But it is something that's very resonant, and I think part of that is because it's the last thing we experience as we leave the theater, the thing we're most likely to remember in most cases. But I also just think there's an expectation now that endings have to do several things at once. They have to surprise, and the other is they have to satisfy. And I think that the reason we're maybe seeing multiple endings, you know, directors throwing a lot at the wall, or for that matter, very ambiguous endings where directors are trying to have it both ways, is exactly a function of that. In other words, if you kind of can't make a movie that's going to surprise and shock, but also give people a sense of closure, you just flail in a lot of different directions. And I think that more often than not, when you try that hard, you pretty much fail.
We've been talking about film endings with Stephen Zajcik, who writes about film for the LA Times. We'll link you to his article at hereandnow.org. Steve, I hope this is an appropriate ending. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for not leaving this ambiguous.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
Okay, you could see that coming about a mile away. Here are some of your nominees for at least favorite The Ends. Reporter Mickey Maynard says, you've got mail. He puts her out of business, and yet they fall into each other's arms. Becky Tanger says she loved Easy Rider until that tragic ending. She writes, it would have been awesome if those guys could have kept on writing. Keep writing to us, facebook.com/hereandnowradio or hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again, Here and Now.
Can you picture what will be?
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories Here and Now. We'll take a look at a new Republican PAC aiming to help more moderate candidates get elected. Also, what happens as the world runs out of water? Countries like Mexico have to drill deeper, and the water they're finding is not pretty. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, Here and Now.